North Rock Podcast.
So always grateful to be with you and to get to preach. This morning we're going to do something a little bit different. I know we've been doing a lot different lately, but every time we have a month where there's a fifth weekend in the month, we try to highlight or take that that weekend to highlight stuff that we're doing in terms of missions in the world. And we think it's a priority and something that is important enough to be on regular display for our community. And so this morning we're going to have an opportunity to hear from a number of different folks who will highlight for us what we're doing both in missions in terms of our connection to our denomination and our district here. We're also going to talk about the missionaries that we support around the world. And finally, we're going to cast a vision for what it looks like to do local outreach and local mission in our community, because we believe that we've been placed here in Thornton in this time, in this place, for a purpose. But this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit. Before we hear from them, I want to talk to you a little bit about why this is important. And it's my conviction that it's important because missions isn't something just that we do. Mission is who we are. We are God's missionary people together, you and I. And so all the different various missions, do you see the plural on that, is an outworking of our calling towards mission together. Do you see? So I'd like to begin then by looking at one of the classic missionary texts that we find in the Bible in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Will you pray with me? Come now, Holy Spirit, come in power with full assurance, enlivening within us ability to hear your word this morning. And in hearing your word, may we perceive what you have to say to us in and through it. And may it move us more than go beyond than just perception, but may it move us to transformation, to faith and trust in it, so that we might be changed, transformed from the inside out into the image of your Son, Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray and that we trust, saying amen. Okay, so listen, this passage that I just read to you this morning, it's commonly referred to as what? The Great Commission. Have you heard it before? The Great Commission. Now, oftentimes, when people hear the Great Commission, they do something kind of interesting. They hear it, and they go, "Ugh, that doesn't feel very comfortable to me. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded. I don't feel up to that task. I don't feel up to that job description." What's interesting is that rather than seeing this passage as a job or a task or even law, what would it look like to see it as freedom? If you look at the passage itself, sometimes I think some of the things that get in the way of a good understanding of what Jesus is doing here and calling his people to is the way that we translate the passage. For in fact, if you look attentively to the Greek text, it actually would read a little bit different. Do we have that slide up? Instead of it saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations." The language there more faithfully could be represented as saying "go and disciple." Go and disciple all the nations. And what it kind of implies is Jesus is sending his community into the world. And he says, "Go, and as you go, do what you do. Disciple people. Bring people into faith and trust. It's not your job to make disciples, in other words. That's God's job. Your job is to live faithfully and represent him well in the world. Go and disciple. Go, and as you go, disciple. Bring people along. Allow them to come into your life and do life together. And as you do it, you will find that it will elicit a natural response to ask questions. What is going on here? What is so unique about this community that is moving into the world? And what are we called then to do? What should we do? Well, keep that in mind. That the Great Commission is less about what you are supposed to do and more about who you are. Keep that in mind. To unpack this idea of mission, I want to highlight three ideas or three concepts that I think are worth exploring together. And I take this from an individual who's been one of my big influences theologically. His name is Leslie Newbegin. And Leslie Newbegin, can we show his picture up real quick? And Leslie Newbegin is an interesting figure because he grew up in England as a young man, and he became a Christian, and he was a part of the Reformed tradition, which is one of the different groups that Christian denominations that have multiplied over since the Reformation. And he felt, as a young man, called to missionary work. And so he was sent by his church, his community, to India. And while in India, he got connected with all the other Christians that were and missionaries that were doing work in India. And he gave his life in that missionary endeavor. 35 years he spent in India. And what was interesting about his story is that even though he came from a particular tradition, when he found himself in the missionary field, engaged in mission work, as we classically define it, he realized, you know what, when Christians are in that kind of environment where they're the minority and when they're engaged in service and evangelism and outreach, that what tends to happen is they gravitate towards what they have in common with one another rather than what divides them. See, when you have a context of Christendom where it's just assumed everyone's Christian, then everyone tends to define themselves over and against one another and who we're this distinctive brand of Christianity. But when you're in the mission field, you tend to say, hey, we are Christian, engaged in God's work in the world. And so what's fascinating about Leslie Newbegin's story is he actually, along with a number of other denominations, banded together to form the Church of India. It was a cross-denomination gathering. It was a new kind of church expression. It was like, for this place and this time, we all are called to give witness to God's redemptive work in Jesus here in India. So we're going to call ourselves the church. So he actually became a bishop in that movement, which is completely different from the tradition he came from. It's very fascinating. That's why that's a better picture. That's him as an old. I had originally a picture of him as a young man. Vibrant. This is him in retirement. And what's actually fascinating about his story is, as much as he gave himself to missionary work in India for 35 years, you know where he made the most impact was when he returned to England after that time. He comes back to England, and because of his experience in India, in a pluralistic, multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-faith environment, and because he had to do the Christian work in that environment, it actually equipped him and gave him a sense for where things were headed in England and Western Europe. When he came back, he saw, you know, the Western world was rapidly changing and more starting to look similar to India than ever before. And so because of his own background and experience, he was able to articulate how the gospel can be proclaimed to be true in a pluralistic society. He ends up writing a seminal work called The Gospel in a Pluralistic Society. And I want to quote to you something from one of his chapters, a chapter called The Logic of Mission. And he says this in The Logic of Mission, which is basically the argument for what does mission look like. He said, there has been a long tradition which sees the mission of the church primarily as obedience to a command. It has been customary to speak of the missionary mandate. This way of putting the matter is certainly not without justification, and yet it seems to me that it misses the point. It tends to make mission a burden rather than a joy, to make it a part of the law rather than part of the gospel. If one looks at the New Testament evidence, one gets another impression entirely. Mission begins with a kind of explosion of joy. The news that the rejected and crucified Jesus is alive is seen as something that cannot possibly be suppressed. It must be told. Who could be silent about such a fact? Isn't that true? Who could be silent about such a fact that the rejected and crucified Jesus is now the Lord of the universe? He's alive. And he's restoring everything and bringing all under his headship. We are all being caught up into the very love of God in Christ. That's good news for the world. And when that first Christian community heard that news and encountered that risen Jesus, they couldn't help but tell the news. It was a joyous occasion. See, mission is rooted in the joy of the gospel. It's not a burden. It's something to be delighted in. So Newbegin goes on and says, if you look at the early Christian movement, what you see is this cascading event. It's like a thermonuclear bomb has been set off, and there's now radiation spilling out everywhere. But it's a kind of radiation that's beneficial and a blessing and uplifting and restorative. It just happens. There are ripple effects that just start to cascade from that event. And those ripple effects move throughout history, transforming and changing lives for the sake of Jesus. Good news. Mission is not just a burden, or not simply a burden. It's a joy rooted in the gospel. But the second thing I would like to say is this. Mission is also an opportunity for learning, for listening. See, what we have to recognize is that the missionary task, the missionary venture, the commission, is something that is God's, not ours. It's God's mission, not yours and mine. See, when we look at it as a part of the law, we tend to think this is something that we have to do and make happen, rather than this is something that already is happening, that God is invested in, and we are called to be a part of. And so it becomes, if we can shift our mind towards that and realize this is God's mission, not ours, then we realize it's learning. It's an opportunity to listen. It's an opportunity for us to incline ourselves to his voice, to hear the Father's voice, and to respond to his movement into the world. God is ascending God. He moves into the world. He did that in the incarnation. And Jesus himself says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Did you get that? As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. He also said, I only do what my Father in heaven tells me to do. He listens to the Father's voice. He responds to his call. So the missionary endeavor is, if it's true, what's true about Jesus is now true about us. If his mission is now our mission, if it's his mission that we're responding to, then for us, we're always inclining ourselves to listen to what the Father is calling us to do. What he says to be true about you and how you are to represent him in the world. It's an opportunity to learn. We don't have to have everything figured out when we engage in missionary endeavor. We just need to respond. Be attentive to what God is doing. So, mission is rooted in the joy of the gospel. It's an opportunity to listen and to learn. And finally, it is contextualized. It happens in the context of community. Listen to Newbegin again in a different chapter where he talks about the community of faith. He says something that I think is very important and has rung true for me for a long time. He says, I have come to feel that the primary reality of which we have to take account in seeking for a Christian impact on public life is the Christian congregation. How is it possible that the gospel should be credible, that people should come to believe that the power which has the last word in human affairs is represented by a man hanging on a cross? How is it possible that people will find that to be credible and real and true? Because it's at first glance, it seems ridiculous, is in other words what he's saying. How is it possible? I am suggesting that the only answer, Newbegin says, the only hermeneutic of the gospel is a congregation of men and women who believe it and live by it. In other words, it's the Christian community that puts flesh to the good news of Jesus. You can have all sorts of tracts. You can have all sorts of teachings. You can have all sorts of events. You can learn all the rules. But in the end, if people are going to come to find the good news of Jesus as winsome, compelling, and more important than any other, real for them, they need to see it lived. They need to see it lived out by a community who believes it and lives by it. And so any kind of talk about mission in both the abstract and in the concrete needs to be recognized. It has to be rooted in the people of God. It's not going to be done any other way. God comes to us through people, and it's the community that does this. When Jesus left this earth, he did not leave a religion or a set of rules or a book even. What did he do? He left a community who had gathered around him to worship him. We saw that in Matthew. They came to the mountain in which he called them to, and they worshiped him, even though in that moment some doubted, but they worshiped him. And then he sent them into the world to be his witnesses, to be his ambassadors, to represent him as a community in the world. So when we talk about missions, we cannot just talk about missions. We cannot just talk about missionaries. We do not just talk about individuals who are called and sent. We recognize that our whole church is a called and sent people together on mission. Can we say amen to that? So here, I want you to now listen to what it means to be a part of a community that does this. I want you to know, for me personally, why I'm attracted to being a part of the Foursquare movement is that this denomination gets it. There are maybe 2,000 churches, Foursquare churches in the United States right now. But did you know there's 65,000 churches, Foursquare churches all over the world? 65. Foursquare is committed not just to sending missionaries, but to planting churches. In other words, communities that will live in the context in which they have been created and sent and will give witness to who Jesus is, the resurrection of God, the revelation of God. I want you to hear from our lead pastor, Chad, what it means for us as a Foursquare church to be connected to that larger movement.
Thank you, Andrew. So, yeah, how's that for a nice little framework, right? So I get the next 15 minutes to talk to you. Okay, I get the next 10 minutes. All right, 5 minutes. I got 5 minutes up here, and that's all I've got, all right? And what I'd like to do with that 5 minutes is just simply orient you as a congregation to some of the additional ties that we have in our Foursquare family, okay? Again, the rallying cry behind Foursquare is that we are an interdenominational family of believers, right, committed to the gospel around the world, right? And new churches being started. As a part of this congregation, you participate in that, whether you are aware of that or not. See, that idea that we just unpacked there, that as an individual, when I become part of a local work, I participate in the work of God throughout the world because of that, okay? And I thought of a verse that I thought would maybe frame this really well for us today, my 5 minutes, that is. I'm not, adding to Andrew's. This is mine. Okay, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says basically this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Do you guys catch that? That a lot of what we just read up there, a lot of what's in that initial sending scripture is that idea that as you have opportunity, as you go and continue going, do the will of God. Do good in the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? And so as part of this congregation, every time you give, every time you serve, every time you contribute or compliment or partner with us here, we are not just a church that ties to our family of churches around the world to see missions done through Foursquare Missions International. We are also those who have sent out missionaries, which you're going to hear about. But I'm talking about the next kind of ripple effect. So if Jesus entered time in history, there was a ripple effect, right? A wave that was created of grace that went through the world. And those waves are crashing into each other all around the world. And as a local church, the same is true. As we drop in energy and time and resource into this place, it ripples out like the pebble, the lake, right? I thought that was my 5 minutes already up there, shutting me down, right? Or if you prefer, think of it as a family, right? We all have our own household. But we also have family members all around us, all around the world, who are part of our family. That's what we're talking about. And so when you hear us refer to our district office, when you hear us talk about our church family of Foursquare, that's all we're saying is that we've got some aunts and uncles. Most of them not crazy. Some are. But most of them are pretty good folks, right? But we're a part of a family of God around the world. And as part of that, not only do we give, but we partner. You guys know that because of your faithfulness to this church, we were able to sponsor 5 separate church planning and pastor training days and weeks throughout this past year. Isn't that a cool thing? That we're planting churches all around our 5-state district area. That's that first kind of layer of our district, right? And we've got even more things planned in the future. So that's one of the ways that we connect with your giving, with your serving. We had a lot of our volunteers here to help us host the very first around the nation Masters of Arts and Strategic Leadership Residency Week here at North Rock Church. Isn't that pretty cool? You guys were part of that. And so part of that is I get to celebrate those things. I get to live that out. I'm like, I'm so proud of North Rock. I'm so proud of what God's doing in our family of churches. And again, that's not to say anything about any other family, right? It's just say this is who we are. This is how we roll. This is what we're about, okay? This is what we do. But it's so encouraging, and it's unfair that I get to know all those things, and y'all just come here on Sunday and go, what do we do? The district what? So that's why we're trying to do what we're doing here today, okay? So with that being said, wanted to say there's one other way that we can continue to partner and pray and participate and potentially go in the district affiliation and relationship. 2 things. I want to tell you about a website. So it's foursquare.gateway.org, okay, or gatewaymissional.com. Either of those, you can get more information. But we are, as a district, taking on a people group around the world over this next 5 years that really are really underrepresented in the world. Do you guys know that in Bangladesh they have 100 and I think it's 56 million people in that little country? You guys believe that? And not many of them know Jesus yet. And so as a group of churches in the district, we are banding our strengths together to go to Bangladesh and see what God might do as we come up with a plan for training pastors and encouraging them along the way. So if Bangladesh is an area of the world that you are interested in, we've got some flyers out at the connection table. You can pick those up on your way out, or you can go to that website and learn more about the extended family of God that you're a part of when you commit to a local church like North Rock Church, okay? Andrew, is that about kind of what you were looking for? And I'm on time, and so I'm going to go ahead and hand this off to Marcus. Would you guys please welcome Marcus Cortez, who's our missions rep. He's our North Rock missions rep, and he's going to highlight a few of the church planters and the missionaries that we support as a local church around the world. Here you go, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chad. So I'm here to highlight our missionaries, and I think Andrew and Chad did a very good job of taking all my notes, and now I have nothing to say because they did such a good job. But I do have some updates for everybody. And this first one comes from Chris and Laura Dacus from Albania. And I also want to thank Brian Primrose for taking the time and physically visiting them. So I get to get this update straight from Brian. So I thought that was really, really cool that we have this relationship with our missionaries and that we're able to just communicate with them and be close to them and love on them and support them in that way. So Chris moved to Albania in 91 and he serves as the Foursquare rep of Albania. And according to Brian, they have a rehab center for the handicap, a radio station that broadcasts Christian music and then messages. They work with the orphans, and they're also handing out solar-powered radios so that people who don't have access to any of this information, they have radios now to hear God's word in a way that they've never heard it before. So that's from Albania, and I think that's really cool. Tiffany, we just had a team out there. We all know that, and we're looking forward to hopefully getting another one out there this year. So get in touch with Kelly or Debbie or myself so we can figure out, you know, what needs to happen out there in Honduras. We just had a team out there. She's planning. I'm sorry. I'm repeating my notes here. I'm sorry. Teaching music, preaching on the streets, and I just heard this that she helped provide dentist work for over 100 children in Honduras. So that's quite amazing. Yeah. Paul and Lori Vernon from Thailand. They've been in the Akka village, and they started. They're living there in the village. Gaining the trust of everybody, learning their culture, because that's so important to not go in there and offend anyone, just show them that they can learn with God's way, doing how they're doing, but they've never heard of Jesus, so that's part of missionaries' work, is to go out there and just spread the word to Jesus. And I read this off their blog, and it just really meant a lot to me from the Vernons. In our few years in Thailand, we have come to accept the truth that ministry is not scheduled Sunday practice, but it is a recreational community exercise that reacts to the immediate and pressing needs of the people around us. I really think that's what the message that we're trying to get out here week after week is, learning that we need to live missional lives every day, and that there's opportunities all around us, that God's calling us and he's using us. So you just need to hear that word and step forward and, you know, deliver God's word. Here's one of my favorite updates. Francis and Natalie from Gendrone from France. Since they've been in France, they've planted a church. They network with other Christian churches. And because of a university that they're close to, they've been able to meet students, give them the gospel. The students have then gone home and planted churches. So just from our little church going to France, and then it's just going worldwide. So I just really think it's special. And then, let's see. I just really want to encourage everybody to pray for our missionaries. Debbie created a flyer with everybody's photo that you can put on your fridge, and it's got some really practical ways to pray for them, stuff that I had never thought of, so please grab one of these and take a look at it. So that is my update for everyone. There was a slideshow. Did they play it? Okay, cool. Thank you very much, and I'm going to bring Debbie up to talk about our local ideas.
Thank you, Debbie. And before we move on from missions, I just want to highlight the Coops who are in Alaska. And they're really working with the Eskimo culture. They're building relationships. They help with very practical needs. They've helped with, they just finished getting enough salmon in to feed 9 families through the winter. We're looking at a possibility of doing a missions trip up there sometime in the next year as well to help them with some construction projects and infrastructure needs that they have. So they're doing a great work. I'm wanting to talk to you today. If you know me very well at all, you know that missions is very important to me for obvious reasons, but outreach is really, really close to my heart. I started a nonprofit several years ago and ran it for 10 years in this community, and that's what led us to North Rock, is you were in this community and churches were leaving, and North Rock came. And so that said something to my family, and so we came here. As we prayed about it over the last year, about what do we want outreach to look like, What the Lord really spoke to me is that we're to build relationships in our community. And so what we're going to be launching this fall, I'm really excited, is the Echo students and I are going to just begin to walk communities and begin to pray and ask God where we're supposed to be on a weekly basis. And then we're going to go once a week, and we're just going to go do a little sidewalk Sunday school for the children in that area and begin to build relationships with them. Our goal is that from that plant, from just being in our community every week, playing soccer with them, painting their fingernails, talking to them, giving them a lesson, it'll open doors for the rest of the body to come alongside. We've done oil changes in the past. I know you're passionate about that, but I want to be really intentional that we've chosen a community and that we're doing layers upon layers of opportunity. Quit laughing at me. I don't like it. layers and layers of opportunity to go in and build relationships in that community. I loved what Andrew said about going out and living and letting them get to know us, letting them know that we're not scary, that we're not going to judge them, but that we're going to love and serve them and have life alongside of them. My goal is that we'll be able to do an oil change for them, that those are the children we'll adopt for our Christmas drive, that we can go out and do a barbecue with them, and that they become part of our family whether they ever come in these doors. And it works. Because when I had the nonprofit, at strategic points, I had them come to North Rock. When we gave out Christmas gifts, they came to North Rock to pick them up. When we gave out Thanksgiving baskets, they came to North Rock to pick them up. A couple of months ago, I was sitting in the office and the doorbell rang, and in walked a young man who had been from the community I had served. And he said, "I just knew I could come here." Okay? That's our vision for outreach. That's our vision, is that we go enough and we give them touch points back to us that they know where to go when they begin to seek. And we let the Holy Spirit do the work at guiding their hearts and changing their lives.
So I hope that that gave you a taste of some of the missions that we're doing here at North Rock, that we, not they, that we are doing here. But I hope you're beginning to get a feeling for the broader idea of what mission is, that our life is to be mission, that we are on mission together. And it's not our mission, it's Jesus, his mission. And he says to us, go. He sends us, go. And as you go, disciple the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all what I have commanded. What I've told you is true about you now that you are in me. Do you get a sense for this? For me, it's good to remember, like when Pentecost happened and the church was formed, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the gathered group there who had become followers of Jesus, and all were seeing what was going on. It prompted questions as they were like living their life in the midst of others. It prompted questions. Who are you? What is this that I'm encountering? And what am I called to do? And it's at that point then that Peter preaches. And he calls them to repentance, meaning turn and begin to believe this is true about Jesus, and now it's true about you. And be baptized. Identify yourself with him. You'll hear us talk a lot about that here at North Rock. That what is true about Jesus has become true about you. And that doesn't just mean relationally, like, we are made right with God because of in and through Jesus. It also means that not only are we reconciled, redeemed in Christ, but we are also given a mission, a purpose in him. What's true about him, his task, his vocation, his purpose, is now true about you. When Jesus left, he did not leave a book or a set of rules or doctrines. He left a living, breathing community that were called to worship him and testify to him so that the world may know that God is good. This is the truth that we proclaim. This is the truth that we preach. Christ crucified and raised and reigning over all the world, calling all the world into his life. I want to invite you this morning to stand and worship and sing that truth in Jesus' name. Let's sing the truth of the gospel. So this is our foundation. This is the truth that we stand on. Jesus Christ, him crucified and raised. It's this that not just we stand on, it's this truth that propels us into the world as his ambassadors. We exist to give witness to this story of what God has done in Jesus and to call people to repentance and baptism. I want to make that opportunity even today for all of us to remember what we're called to. And if you're hearing this good news for the first time, we want to invite you into that living relationship. Not because you have to do it, because he's done it for you. And he's calling you into that life. And so together we pray a prayer every service, reminding us of the truth of what we stand on. Let's do that together. I want to invite you, if you haven't done this before, to give voice for the first time to what God has called you to. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and trust. Friends, if you have said yes to that today, then we believe you're now living out what's true about you. And you're invited to live as a part of this community. And we exist together to give witness to that story. So let's go from this place knowing that church doesn't happen here only. It happens in the world. And as we live faithfully in Him and for Him, we will be discipling all the nations. Go from this place, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Friends, go in peace. Amen? Amen. Okay.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.